Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Hi, I'm Sarah and you're listening to Cradio, and today I'm sitting here with young Sydney Catholic Bridget Spinks. Bridget, how are you?
I've just driven through the rain over the Harbour Bridge. I'm going pretty well, and I'm just sort of coming to terms with the news that Pope Benedict XVI has flown away over the cupola in his helicopter off to Castel Gandolfo, and we're now in a situation of sede vacante, just waiting and hoping and praying that the new Pope is the right one and who God wills. So
I know, isn't it incredible? It seems like all of our hearts and minds have just been fixed on the Vatican for these last couple of weeks, and everyone's just spouting all these expressions of appreciation for Pope Benedict.
That's right. For me, I mean, I've really grown up in my faith thanks to Pope Benedict, or during his pontificate. He came in 2005, and around about that time, I mean, I was sort of, you know, learning about my faith and everything, and as a young person, I've really grown up, you know, when 2005 would have been 20 or something, and just really grown up during his papacy, during his pontificate. Went to World Youth Day Sydney, went to World Youth Day Madrid, you know, was at a couple of papal audiences in Rome twice, like, so I've seen him, I've heard him, I've listened to him, I've read his work, I've read and listened to him, and he's really been a spiritual leader to me. And so, but during that formative time as a young person, he's really been such a gift to me. So I've really connected, I think, with Pope Benedict.
Thank God we've still got him praying for us.
Yes, thank goodness.
And I'm sure he'll be praying for us beyond that as well.
Yeah.
So first of all, why don't you tell me a bit about yourself? I know you've just started a philosophy degree, and I know you were raised a Catholic. Has faith always been an important part of your life?
Yes, very much so. So I'm the middle child of seven, and my family the faith has been a huge part of growing up in my family. My dad is not Catholic, but my mum is, and we've all been, you know, going to Mass on Sunday, praying the rosary every day at home when we're growing up, and it's still a big part of our lives. I was very fortunate to receive religious formation at the Holy Family Religion School, which was led and founded by Sister Maude Woodbury. She was a Marist sister, and so from kindy right through to year 12, every Friday afternoon I would go to these religion lessons and learn about the catechism and learn about the tenets of the faith and receive that formation, and also mix with other young people who were receiving that as well. And I think that's really been, that's provided me with the foundation of the faith. And I think from that, that's what's, you know, inspired and led me, and almost I've had a bit of a duty and a responsibility even to sort of go out and share the faith, share my faith with others, because I just know that, you know, the Catholic faith is awesome, and and I can't imagine my life without this understanding and knowledge and this gift of faith. It just inspires me in everything that I do. I went to uni and did a journalism and international studies degree at UTS, and then after that I worked for a little bit in the media. I went over to Perth and wrote for the Record Catholic newspaper, and that was wonderful to sort of live and breathe Catholicism there with all the young people there in Perth. Hello everyone in Perth, if you're listening. And then I worked for Archbishop Hickey for a period of time just before he retired, actually. He retired. He handed in his resignation to Pope Benedict a couple of years ago when he turned 75, and the Pope said, you know, it was accepted nunc pro tunc, which means now for then. And so there was a period of time where his resignation had been accepted, but he was asked to stay on until the successor was announced. Now, the successor wasn't announced until the following year. And in that time, I started working for Archbishop Hickey as his media officer and helped with, media requests and all of that in the lead up to his retirement. And then that, the successor was announced, and then it was very tearful moment for me as well when I had to sort of, see an archbishop retire. So seeing the Pope retire. I saw this last year when the Archbishop retired, so I'm sort of getting used to farewelling spiritual leaders. But and then I came back to Sydney, and I've been working in Parramatta. And just this year I've started to do a Master of Arts in Philosophical Studies at Notre Dame, which I'm very excited about, and I hope that it will give me a framework to better understand my faith and better communicate it and better come to a more deep understanding of it and how important it is.
What a blessing that you were raised with that level of formation, and you've just sort of always been at the heart of the church. Is it something that it's just always been there and it's grown over time, or was there ever a time where you questioned it and where you had to own it for yourself?
Definitely. I think I've always known that the Catholic faith is the one true faith. And so even in periods of doubt or of struggle, it's definitely been struggle, particularly in my early 20s. I remember this one phase where I was constantly socialising with really good young Catholic people, and I was constantly being inspired by their witness and what they were doing. But then it got to a point where I was like, oh my gosh, am I just hanging out with these people because I don't have any other friends? Or is it because I believe what they believe? Do I believe? Oh my gosh, what's going on? It was a real testing point. And I think through confession and whatnot, I really came to a new peace and I took it on board. But I do remember that as a real testing point. And I think it's a gift of faith, and it is a leap of faith, and it's sort of, I've come to love it more. And I think over these last several years of being a young person, 6-7 years, whatever, I've learnt more about the faith, and I don't know, I can't, it's a mystery. I can't really explain how I went from having those doubts to accepting. I think I must have taken a leap of faith to really embrace it, but I don't really think about that too much anymore. I just sort of go with it. Like, this is what we've been given. It's so rich. It's so deep. You know, Christ is there in the Blessed Sacrament. And I think when I moved to Perth, I lived just down the road from a chapel of Eucharistic Adoration, which had adoration available 24/7, and I was like literally 5 minutes walking distance, and I started to embrace this and commit myself to a holy hour a week. And then I was there, like, I just pop in after work on the way home. I'd go there when I couldn't focus on whatever I was doing at home. Like, the Lord was always there for me, and I think that really gave me a grounding and a strength and a peace. And I just remember, like, I was very, I remember, you know, reading a lot during that time, and I think that was a time of strengthening my faith. There were also struggles and tests there, as there always is in life, but, you know, the Lord was there waiting for me, just every day He was there. And when I moved back to Sydney, 6 or 7, 8 months ago, I just, it wasn't as easily accessible, you know, finding a place for adoration, finding a place to be with the Lord 1 hour a week. It was very difficult. There was a lot of traffic on the road. Like, there was a lot of things I had to work out, like, you know, where's my favourite coffee spot, and, like, just how to juggle everything that was going on and get back into the flow, the Sydney flow. But I found a place now where I can go and pray and be with the Lord, and that's really brought a lot of peace, and that's the key. Like, there's no other way to survive in a busy city when you just want to be with the Lord, but to find a place to pray a holy hour once a week. Like, that's the way. And that's, I think, where my strength comes from with the faith in continuing on this journey.
You know, that's so true, and I know one of my prayers has been that we could have perpetual adoration somewhere in Sydney. One day, he is hoping.
One day. So needed. It's so needed.
So the reason I suppose I brought you here today is to tell us a bit about this upcoming weekend. It's on the 8th to the 10th of March.
1 week away.
Yeah, that's very soon. And I believe you've got Archbishop Hickey.
Yes, we're very, very privileged. He's flying over from Perth and he'll be coming to Reasons for Hope to be with us. Recently retired prelate, you know, he was the, it's just such a gift to have him with us. He's been serving the people of God for over 50 years, including 20 years as Archbishop of Perth, and his personal witness to faith and his love for the poor and disadvantaged has just been such an incredible witness to me. So I'm very excited to see Archbishop Hickey again and to have him with us at Reasons for Hope and to sort of to really live and breathe the weekend with all these young people of faith, because for me, I really love that experience, but to be able to share that, to be able to have Archbishop Hickey, you know, see and be part of that, I think that'll be really great for him and really great for us as well. So
could you tell me a bit about the background of Reasons for Hope and what its purpose is and how you got involved?
Sure. So Reasons for Hope was started before I was sort of like, I think I was 11 when Reasons for Hope started, back in 1996. And there was some young people up in the hills area that they were there. Matt Woodbury is his name. So he founded it. He's the nephew, actually, of Sister Moore Woodbury, who was providing those religion lessons for me. So when he was in his 20s, he was looking around and sort of couldn't see much on in the way of really good faith formation for young people. And he started, finding a way to bring that to his contemporaries. And he said, he was just sitting there with his friends saying, why don't we have a weekend away? We'll get 60 young people, we'll just do it. And his friends are like, no, it's not going to happen, whatnot. But it did. And I think the title Reasons for Hope comes from that passage in the scripture. I don't have it off the top of my head, but you've always got to be able to give a reason for the hope that you have, something along those lines. And so that's where Reasons for Hope comes from. And, so it's been going nearly every year since then. I think there was 1 year where they missed it. And I was first inspired to go. I heard about it was on. My older brother went along and I was in high school and, you know, I was like too young to go or whatever. And my brother went and he came back and he just was like, just had so many good things to say about it. I was like, oh, I wished I could have gone. Anyway, the following year I got to go and I had a great time. And I remember I wrote to Matt and I was like, man, really impressed with everything that happened. I was just like really, wanted to let Matt know. I thought it was a fantastic thing, initiative. And, I think he saw that and was like, great, let's get Bridget involved in organising. And so from there I started, but, you know, I was, you know, took on some of the registrations and I was like involved in sort of just liaising with a few speakers. And so anyway, so I just had sort of like in the background supporting work there. And then I went overseas for a year, came back and whatnot. And anyway, and it's really from 2008 I've been pretty involved in coordinating it and working with other young people as well and coming up with, you know, just all the bits and pieces that go into making Reasons for Hope come together, the theme and the speakers and the location. And it really gives me something to do for 6 months between Christmas, New Year and leading up and part of Lent. But I just love it because I can see how much, I know how much I received from it. It really is, the weekend itself is a reason for hope. The young people who come are reasons for hope. The fact that the Lord is there with us is a reason for hope. Like there's just, the fact that it comes together every year is a reason for hope. Like there's just so much, there's so much good that comes out of it that, that every year I come back, even though I can say this is my last year. It's not like I don't know when it will be. It will be when God decides, really, not me. And so the thing is that it's a weekend away for young adults, and it's for 16 to 35 year olds. And everyone from around Australia is welcome. We get a lot of young people coming from Wagga and Albury, and we've had a couple of people come from Adelaide before, from Perth, even from Melbourne. There was some people from Queensland, like we just get people from all over, Wollongong even, from the south coast. And the idea is to just to create an environment or to host a weekend where everyone feels welcome, where you know, making sure we say hello to everyone. That's like a really important part. Having really good speakers, and then having that time for prayer, the adoration, time for confession. Mass happens. Mass is celebrated daily, and it's as much about providing really good formation for young people as it is about giving an opportunity for young people to meet one another and form new friendships and whatnot. So, what's not to love, really?
And I think I read the other day even the Pope takes a retreat during Lent, so perfect opportunity to get away.
That's right, that's right.
So what are some of the things that people can expect from this one in a week's time?
Well, we've got 40 hours adoration, which, you know, we can organise all these talks, but really it's really the time with the Lord that people love. So there'll be plenty of time for adoration even during the night. We're going to have... actually, this year we've got the focus is all on prayer. So the theme is from Pope Benedict: prayer opens us to receiving the gift of God, His wisdom, which is Jesus Himself, in order to do the Father's will in our lives, and thus to find rest in the hardships of our journey. So we really wanted to. One of my fellow organisers was like, "We really need a weekend on. We really need a focus on prayer," and. That was something that resonated with me because I was really missing my, you know, weekly holy hour. I was like, yes, we really need something on prayer. And so Archbishop Hickey is going to talk to us, give an address on why do we need to pray. So, you know, I look forward to hearing what he has to say. And then we're going to have an activity on where, you know, the young people can rotate around various. We've got three sessions on one aspect of prayer. And then we're going to go into, that's going to lead us into, we're going to have an hour with the Lord. So basically, in the midst of this busy, social, wonderful weekend, we're going to have a time of silence. And that's going to happen on Saturday afternoon. So I think it's going to be really, we haven't had that before. We're right in the middle of Saturday. We've had a quiet time. And I think, you know, it's, I don't know if everyone will have experienced what it's like to go to a holy hour or will have ever stopped for quiet in their life. So I think we're going to have plenty of people on hand. The Religious Sisters of Mercy will be there. We'll have priests. We'll have, you know, the speakers there. So if people don't know what to do in that time, there'll be people there to help and support them, or they can go for spiritual direction or confession or whatever it may be, to the priest, obviously. And that'll be, for me, I'm really looking forward to that part where we can all just sort of just relax and pray. And, you know, you can pray in the chapel or you can pray like we're going to be near the beach. So, although I think there was just a tornado which came through Werri Beach and Gerringong and Kiama. I was just listening on the radio. There's been all this, like, debris. So I have to phone them and find out that everything's going to be okay. I'm sure it will be. Anyway, and then we're going to have a couple of talks after lunch. It's free time. People can go surfing if they want, if the weather's good. And then we're going to have, you know, Andrew Wood, who's a fantastic scripture scholar. He's going to be giving a talk on the Lamb's Supper, the greatest prayer. So that's obviously about the Mass. So that'll be really great. It's going to be a tough decision because we've got Dr. Andrew Fung, who was actually one of my former teachers at this religion school I went to. Speaking on Is Lent a Time of Joy? So, I mean, I'm experiencing joy, but it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. And then we're going to have the men's and women's panel, as we do every year. So we're going to have a young single man and woman, a married couple, and our chaplain, Father Anthony, and Religious Sister of Mercy, Sister Mary Julian. They'll be on the panels. So we'll split all the attendees into, you know, men and women. The men will stay in one area and the women in another area, and we'll go and hear these inspirational testimonies and little segments. And the theme is, "For I know the plans I have for you," which is from Jeremiah, which sort of ties in with our theme, which is about, you know, prayer. How can prayer help us find what it is that God is calling us to do? So that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to that. Then in the evening we'll have, you know, dinner and rosary, and then we're going to have some entertainment. We're talking about having like a Catholic X Factor, so we're hoping that people can bring along their musical instruments or their drama skills and just, you know, put something. It's going to be like a night of comedy and entertainment, so that'll be great. And then that brings us to Sunday. So we'll have Sunday Mass, and then we'll have this, we've got this panel, which we've had for the last couple of years, called the Faith in Action Forum. And we're going to have some speakers giving a talk on, you know, how they're putting their faith into action. So we'll have the state member for Castle Hill, Dominic Perrottet, MP, presenting. We'll also have Katie Fullilove speaking about, like, natural family planning. We've never had a talk on that, amazingly enough. So I think that'll be, it's so needed, you know. She'll be talking from the context of, you know, what is true love and how does natural family planning come into that. And then we'll have Rocky Mimmo. He is the founder of the Ambrose Centre for Religious Liberty. And religious liberty, I think, is going to be a hot button issue coming up. And so I'm really excited about what he's got to say. It's an area which I'm not, 100%, like, I'm not 100% about. Like, I don't know the issues or myself. So I'm looking forward to learning and hearing about that. And then in the afternoon, we're going to have a panel discussion on evangelization in the 21st century, strategies and challenges. So, I think during his pontificate, Pope Benedict created the Congregation for the New Evangelization. Yeah, so the new evangelization is something which is, you know, the church is a missionary church, and the new evangelization is something which is really at the forefront of our minds as young people. Like, how can we reach out to others? How can we spread the gospel message? And so we're going to be looking at that. And Archbishop Hickey is going to be on the panel. We're going to have Claire Cannon on the panel, who is... she's totally devoting her time to the promotion of good reading. And then we're going to have Christian Ellis, who is a convert to Catholicism, a young man of faith. And then I'll be on the panel as well, so we'll see what happens there. And then, yeah, that'll be it. And we go forth and benediction and close. And so the weekend, feel like I've just lived it already. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that's the speakers. That's what's going to happen on the speaking lineup. But then for the young people who come, we don't know how the Lord's going to work in their lives. And that's really what remains to be unfolded. So for anyone who's thinking about coming, you know, it's going to be exciting. Really what the Lord wants to do in our lives while we're there.
It sounds like it'll be an amazing weekend, and I'll certainly keep it in my prayers. Now, so there's still time to register, and those who want to register can just head to the website?
Yes, they definitely can. We're filling up, but there's spaces. The website is www.reasonsforhope.net.au. I can even give you the prices for the full weekend: $130 for a student, $115. If you're coming from interstate last minute, you get a flat rate, $115. We've got day rates and also just Friday, Saturday and Sundays. There's so much flexibility for people who want to come, because, yeah, if the Lord's calling you, just come on down. Mm-hmm. Escape the hustle and bustle of daily life, and yeah, just take some time out. The Lord's there, he's waiting for us all to be there. So
well, thanks so much for coming and sharing with us today, and also telling us about this great weekend that's coming up. So that's Reasons for Hope, www.reasonsforhope.net.au, and that's on the 8th to 10th of March. So that's soon, getting quick.
Oh, we didn't say where it was. It's going to be in Gerringong, which is on the south coast.
South coast of Sydney. Beautiful. Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks, Sarah.
Radio.org.au.